This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave and ancient land to me. And when the and walk this golden land with me. Though I am just a man, when you are by my side, with the help of God, I know I can be this land with me, and walk this golden land with me. Though I am just a man, when you are by my side, with the help of God, I know I can be strong.
Yes, this land is mine. This land is ours. And this is Charlie Bernhout welcoming you to another 2 hours of Jewish soul music. I returned from Israel just a few days back, and it was a most wonderful, wonderful trip. 5 days chilling out in Yerushalayim and then participating in the wonderful Chizuk group. A couple of nights in Ariel and Chaye Sarah and Chevron, and some very interesting visits, to say the least. I am saddened that while I was away, our dear friend Charlotte Wall passed away. She was a great friend and lover of all the Jewish people and of Israel, a volunteer at Americans for Safe Israel for many, many years. She was wonderful, wonderful help for the organization. We stood out in the heat and in the cold, perhaps dozens, maybe even hundreds of demonstrations. She was always there. This woman, I don't even think she was 5 feet, maybe 4'8", but filled with energy and filled with love and filled with concern for our people. Charlotte, it was... you will be sorely missed, to say the least. Well, thinking of Yerushalayim, it was certainly appropriate to play another favorite of mine. I always play favorites, right? This is Country Yossi with Oh My Yerushalayim. No. That's not it. It's the next record. Here we go. Okay, I'm back again. Here we go. Well, we certainly pray that that's the fact, that they will not take Jerusalem away. There are those who would and those who talk about it, and it really, really is very upsetting. It will never happen, but just the idea that it was even put on the table was a sin, quite frankly. Yeah, there is nothing like being in Yerushalayim. And you know, it's interesting, just as people here in New York City who have never been to New Jersey or even Washington, D.C., there's so many Israelis who don't go to Yerushalayim. You would think that every Jew in Israel would be there. Certainly, when we go to Hebron, the people think we're really crazy, but there were 30,000 people there. It was just a magnificent experience, and if you've never experienced it, it's something very, very special. I try to go as frequently as possible on Chayei Sarah. There is another selection from Country Yossi, which sort of describes what we expect from our Jewish people. I don't know. And this is Nebuch of the Shtiebel.
Everyone considered him the Nebuch of the Shtiebel. He'd never done a single thing to prove that he was strong. His real name was Moishe, but folks just called him Nebuch. But something always told me they were reading Moishe wrong. He was only 10 years old when his daddy died in Europe. I looked after Moishe, 'cause he was my brother's son. I still recall the final words my brother said to Moishe: "Son, my life is over, but yours has just begun."
miss me, son, not to do the things I've done. I ran away from trouble my whole life through. Now I know I was wrong, Claudius Royal must be strong. And son, these are my final words to you. Sometimes you gotta fight when you're a Jew.
But Moishe was a gentle soul, never one for fighting. He loved to sit and learn and chew. He had a golden heart. But then one early morning, when he came into the shtiebel, he found three schutzen in there inside, and they were tearing a place apart. Moishe's hands were trembling as he watched them from the shadows, tearing up the svarim and writing on the wall. Then he heard 6 million voices crying in the darkness. He recognized his daddy's voice high above them all. And it said,
promise me, son, not to do the things I've done. I ran away from trouble my whole life through. Now I know I was wrong, Claudius Royal must be strong. And son, these are my final words to you. Sometimes you gotta fight when you're a Jew.
Moishe walked into the shul and they all started laughing. Then one took a Torah and threw it halfway across the floor. When Moishe turned around, they said, hey, the Jewish coward's leaving. But they were sure surprised when Moishe stopped and locked the door. 2,000 years of silence were bottled up inside him. He wasn't holding nothing back, he let him have it all. When Moishe left the shtiebel, not a shagitz was left standing. He said, this one's for daddy, as he watched the last one fall. Then I heard him say,
I promise you, dad, not to do the things you've done. Won't run away when trouble starts to brew. Now I know I was wrong, Claudius Royal must be strong. So dad, I know your final words were true. Sometimes you gotta fight when you're a Jew.
Everyone considered him the Nebuch of the Shtiebel.
Country Yossi, yes. Sometimes you gotta fight when you're a Jew. That's sad, but true. Sometimes you gotta fight. When you're an American also. Well, sometimes you gotta fight when you're a Jew. Let's just see how this is supposed to be. A Gazong to Israel. Okay. Let's see if we're going to get this. Have a commentary during the second hour concerning the release of terrorists. Hopefully it's been published and you'll have a chance to see it, but you'll be able to hear my comments. But right now, let's hear Moishe Stern with a fabulous selection called A Gazong to Yisrael. A Gazong to Yisrael, a song to Israel. And I'm going to do a translation as we go along. Okay? A Gazong to Yisrael with the great Moishe Stern.
Yisroel, Yisroel, bist starker von Eisen, als du kennst so viel Gewure beweisen.
Israel, you are stronger than iron, and you can demonstrate much heroism.
Yisroel, mir seiner, stolz mit dir, mit deinen Siegen, mit deinem Mut und Afschir.
Israel, we are proud of you with your victories and your strength without end.
Mir kuckel mit Meire, wie greis die Sakone und dein Gefahr.
We look with fear how great the danger and your risk.
Gegraben von Sonne mit blutiger Sinne zu bringen uns weitig ohne Zahn.
With enemies with bloody hate who want to bring us pain and suffering.
Nor mit geistiger Gewura mit a fester Hand, weil mir bringen Frieden schon zu dem Land.
But with spiritual heroism, with a firm hand, we will bring joy and peace to the land.
Nor mit geistiger Gewura mit a fester Hand, weil mir bringen Frieden schon zu dem Land. Es gießt sich das junge unschuldige Blut. O Himmlen, Himmlen, guckt sich zu gut, Zahl verteidigt das heilige Land, bringt euch die Sonne, Mapole und Scham.
Young innocent blood flows, O heaven, note well how the army defends the holy land. Bring to the enemies defeat and shame.
Nor wie durch Anes is aufgekommen das nahe Land. Adank die Chalutzim, Giborim und Helden und jeden mit göttlichen Gedank.
As a miracle, the new land came into being thanks to Chalutzim, brave heroes, and Jews with spiritual thoughts.
Noch Jahrhunderter Bengschaft zu Erde von Diavois, zu Jerusalem die heilige Stadt. Noch Jahrhunderter von Diavois zu Jerusalem die heilige Stadt.
After hundreds of years of yearning for the land of their fathers, for Yerushalayim, the holy city. This was a Gesang zu Yisrael and the great Moshe Stern. Whoops. Okay. I'm getting back to it. It'll be okay. Just got to get back to the swing of things. Okay. Ari Braun, B-R-A-U-N, but they pronounced it Ari Brown. He was the chief cantor of the Israeli Defense Forces for many years, a wonderful chazan. Let's hear Tefillah LeYisrael, a prayer for the State of Israel, Ari Braun.
Baruch Atah. Melech, Melech, Aulah.
Well, yes, we're certainly thinking of Shehecheyonu, but let's get to the right cut. Here we go. Avinu Sheba Shemayim. Okay. Ari Brown sadly passed away just a few years back, formerly the chief cantor of the Israeli Armed Forces. Again, thinking of Yerushalayim, let's hear Ari with Yerushalayim Yircha.
Yerushalayim Yircha.
berachamim et Hashem, betishkon betochah, kasher dibareta, betishkon betochah, kasher dibareta. ובני יוטה בקרוב, ובני יוטה בקרוב, בקרוב בימינו, בניין עולם,
Brown with Yerushalayim Yircha. Okay, one more selection. You might think of another great cantor when you hear Ari, and yes, he has a little bit of Moshe Oysher in him. So let's hear the Oysher rendition of, well, the Ari Brown rendition of the Moshe Oysher rendition of Omer Rabbi Elazar.
Shalom ba'olam. Shalom ba'olam.
Salva, salva, be your man of time. Shalom, 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 shalom.
Okay, Ari Brown with Omer Rabbi Elazar. While I was in Israel, I had the opportunity to meet some fascinating people, also to see old friends. I'll tell you more about that in the forthcoming weeks, a couple of interesting interviews, more than a couple, Simon Cohn and Gila Flom from the Israel Sound Archives. But we're next going to hear an interview that I made with just a fascinating story. So without any further ado, let me get to this interview. I'm sure you'll find it of great interest. And it's Israel. Where else could you find such people and such creativity? Okay, I'm very pleased to have with me Eli Beer, who heads Hatzolah in Israel. I spent the most fascinating evening with my friends Alvin and Judy Siegel, who are friendly with Ellie, and I was just overwhelmed by what I saw this evening. So shalom, Ellie.
Shalom.
First of all, tell us a little bit how you got involved with Hatzolah.
So this goes back to when I was 15 years old. When I was a kid, I grew up in Jerusalem. I was born and raised here. And when I was about 6 years old, I grew up in Beit Vegan, and when I was coming back from school on a Friday afternoon, I saw in front of my eyes the first bomb attack that ever exploded in Jerusalem.
Wow.
On a bus. So this was the first bus attack in Israel. And it was the number 12 bus, and many people were hurt and killed. And I remember one person yelling to us. It was my brother and I. We were looking at the bus. We didn't know what's happening, and it was very scary. But I remember one person yelling for help, an older person. And this older person was just asking us to help him get up. But we couldn't help him. We were so scared, we just ran away from there. And then it bothered me very, very much, that whole situation. And I grew up and remembering what I saw. My father explained to me then that some people want to scare us and not, they want to get us out of the country. And the way to do this is scaring us by doing these kind of things. And actually, that actually put me into a very strong belief in living in Israel. When I was 15 years old, I decided I want to become a doctor when I grow up. So I heard about a course, an EMT course, mm-hmm. in the ambulances in Jerusalem. So I said, I'll take the course, and maybe that's going to help me towards becoming a doctor, you know, my dream. And I volunteered for a year and a half in the back of an ambulance. Being in the back of the ambulance, I learned a lot of things, and I learned that when someone needs help, and he's choking, or he's having a heart attack, or he's bleeding to death, it's impossible to save him being in an ambulance. You could hardly ever get to someone on time. Only if you're around the corner when he's having the heart attack and has a cardiac arrest. So I learned from my experience being in the back of the ambulance for a year and a half that you can't get there on time. And one day we had a call about a 7-year-old child in Beit Vegan choking from a hot dog. And we were in the back of the ambulance, and we were driving from the French Hill in north of Jerusalem to Beit Vegan in the south of Jerusalem. And when we got there, it was 21 minutes after this kid choked. And it was too late. We couldn't do anything. And then a doctor shows up, and he says, don't even start CPR. He says, leave the kid alone. He says, don't torture his body. He's dead. And the doctor knew about this emergency by hearing the ambulance coming, but he lived only one block away. So I said to myself, if this doctor would have known 20 minutes earlier, if someone would have yelled to him to say, come help, he would have saved this kid, because it's easy to save a kid from choking. So I said, I'm leaving the ambulances. I'm not going to continue volunteering in the ambulance, and I'm going to start a first response in my community. And whenever something happens, I wouldn't have to hear the ambulance in order for me to go and save someone. I would go much, much earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem that I was facing was that I didn't have the emergency calls. I got together 15 of my friends who were all EMTs.
Yes.
But we had one problem. How do we get the calls? How would people know to call us? So we said we're going to start Hatzala in our community, but we didn't know how people would know about us. So I went over to the head of the ambulance company in Jerusalem. I went over to Magen David Adom, and I said, whenever you have an emergency, let us know about it. We'll respond until you show up.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a union organization. It is still a union organization, and they have rules and conditions and bureaucracy, and they just threw me out of the room.
Wow.
They didn't want to hear about it. They said, if you're bored, go work in a falafel shop or something. Don't come bother us with your stupid ideas. And they said, when someone calls for help, he's going to get an ambulance to help him. And no one's coming before. So I said, okay, you're going to hear about me. I said to him, and I left.
This is 25 years ago.
This is 25 years ago. And I said, I was very stubborn. And I said, I'm going to start this with you, without you. I'm going to get this started. So I went ahead the next day, and I bought two scanners. You know, police scanners. You know, the ones you fire department and the police.
Uh-huh.
And that's how we started. We started listening to their calls. Whenever they had an emergency, we knew the address. Mm-hmm. So we ran there. No one called us, but we heard the emergency.
Right.
And they have a mitzvah in the Torah. It says, "Lo tamod al dam recha." Don't stand away when someone's life is in danger. And we hear it. We know someone's in trouble. So that a 70-year-old man crossing the street in Rehov HaPisgah, in the main street in my neighborhood, and he was hurt by a car. He was laying on the floor, and they called for an ambulance. We heard it on the radio, on the scanner. So I ran there by foot. It was my first time I ever ran by foot to an emergency. I got there. It took me a minute to get there. I found the person on the floor. He was 70 years old, bleeding terribly. He was on Coumadin, which is a blood thinner.
Yes.
And he was bleeding from his neck because he hurt himself terribly in his neck. And it was in an artery. So I didn't have any equipment. I didn't even have a bandage. So I took my yarmulke off my head, and I folded it, and with a lot of pressure, I was able to stop his bleeding. And that's my first time I ever saved someone, with a yarmulke, with a scanner, and with a lot of chutzpah.
Oh, wow.
And that's how we started the organization, with 15 people, and today we have 2,100. Michigan is like
volunteers.
Me. All volunteers. Anyone that wants to join Hatzalah in Israel, it's free service, it's volunteers, you need to be full of motivation, equipped. We equipped you with the equipment you need, all the medical equipment you store tonight. And you run like a Meshigana, you get there, you save the person's life, and then when the ambulance arrives, you can take him to the hospital. But you do the main work, the first work, which is the most important work.
Oh, I was so fascinated to see the AMVU cycle.
Yeah.
Explain to my listeners what an AMVU cycle is.
So that's another part of the chutzpah story, which Israel was built with chutzpah, right? Everyone agrees with me, I'm sure. Whoever knows how Israel started by chutzpah. You know,
right.
We came, we said, this is our land, which it is, it's our land.
Yes.
We weren't there for 2,000 years, but here we come again, right? So I came ahead and I said, we have thousands of people who die waiting for an ambulance. So we started at Tzal for years. We would respond with our running to calls or by our cars, by, you know, taking our own personal car and responding to it. The problem is you get stuck in traffic. So about 14 years ago, I said, you know what? Enough with it. I can't get... I want it... My main concern is getting there really quick. I want to get there within 90 seconds. That's my goal. In order to get there in 90 seconds, we need to cut down the ambulance to two. Cut the car to two. How do you do that? You take a motorcycle. It has two wheels. It could get there much quicker. We put a box in the back. We put
right.
a siren... We put a radio, everything you need on it,
right.
and we give it out to a volunteer. We got a bunch of donors to donate these ambicycles. We decide this volunteer is the most active volunteer in Shaar Chesed. We give him that ambicycle.
Yes.
He goes to work with it, he goes home with it, he goes everywhere with it, and whenever they have an emergency call, we have a GPS tracker on the ambicycle, and we know who's the closest to every emergency. And that's how we get this so quick. Our response in Jerusalem is about 1.5 minutes.
Wow.
In Tel Aviv is about 2 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Average response time in Israel is 3 minutes.
Any place in the whole country, which is blows me away.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And we're still in the beginning. We still have a long way in front of us. We want to get to every person in Israel within 90 seconds.
And if you would have seen, to my listeners, if you would have seen the command center, you just felt like you were watching something out of Space Age. I mean, they were able to track where every motorcycle, or I say motorcycle, every ambucycle is. And not only that, those who don't have or just happen to be living in different parts of the country, you're able to call on them also. And these are people who respond immediately, no matter what.
They could be in the middle of a business meeting, in the middle of yeshiva, in the middle of a shower.
In the middle of davening on Shabbos.
In the middle of davening. Yom Kippur, we went out to over 600 emergencies on Yom Kippur.
Really?
During davening, during everything. On Rosh Hashanah, one of our volunteers here in Yerushalayim went out in the middle of Tkiyat Shofar. And they had a kid, a 1.5-year-old kid, who choked on a game. And he left the shul, ran on his ambicycle, got to the emergency, and was able to save his kid.
Wow.
And a day later, on Friday, it happened on Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah, the first day. The second day, the kid actually came back from the hospital with the parents. They walked back from Bikur Cholam Hospital and knocked on the door of this volunteer to thank him for
wow.
saving this kid's life. And this was CPR that was done by this kid. So CPR on a child saved this kid only because they came here on time.
Now you have about 200,000 calls a year, over 200,000 that you take care of emergencies.
Yeah, we have about 650 calls a day.
A day.
Yesterday we had a few big car accidents. And one call was 35 people hurt. So sometimes we treat a lot more than regular,
uh-huh.
but we have, last year we treated, till Rosh Hashanah, which is the, we call the Jewish year, we had 209,000 emergencies, and many of these emergencies were life-threatening situations,
right.
So about, I would say about 45,000 people were in life-threatening situations that we made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I met so many people, I meet them every day. Last week I was in the plane with your friends here, and they saw in their own eyes. They met people that I saved their daughter. Right? You met Michal.
Right.
Five-year-old daughter who was saved here, two blocks away from here, in a swimming pool. She fell into her grandfather's swimming pool. They schlepped her out. And our volunteers, two volunteers, Aryeh Yaffe, which is Eli Yaffe's son.
Oh, yes.
And Ephraim Cherik, they were both volunteers on ambicycles,
mm-hmm.
got there within less than 2 minutes, started CPR on her, and saved her life.
This blows me away. But the other thing, which, you know, the Haredi get a bad rap quite often, and we don't always know some of the great things that are happening within the community. Why don't you tell us about the Haredim who are working with you?
So we got, when we started, we actually went from rabbi to rabbi to get permission to start this, because you have to get the permission of the Rabbanim if you want to drive on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. You can't just drive on Shabbos in a Jewish religious community. So it wasn't easy. A lot of Rabbanim said, no, it's this, it's that. You know, they didn't know. It's a new thing. Maybe it's going to power its get there and this and that. We got everyone's permission. Rav Eliashiv and all the rest of the Gedolim, they all supported us. So one day I came over with an idea. I said, you know, we have thousands of volunteers. Why don't we have a program for them, for Haredi people who don't serve in the army, to do service in United Hatzalah? United Hatzalah of Israel is the largest first response in Israel. We should get the Rabbanim to permit this to volunteer as army service. And they agreed. They said it's Pikuach Nefesh. You know, I said, you know, how could you argue with Pikuach Nefesh?
Right.
If you're allowed to save lives on Yom Kippur and drive a car, you're allowed to do the army, right? So we actually got the Rabbanim in Israel to agree to this. Right. So today we have 150 Haredim who are serving Ger Hasidim, Belze Hasidim, Litvaks, all the different types of Haredim who are serving in United Hatzalah as soldiers. They're wearing their uniform. They're wearing the black and white, which is their uniform.
Right.
But they're saving lives. And they're working on dispatch, they're training, they're doing the logistics and everything else.
I know. I was in the room and they were all Hasidim sitting there, and I was thinking to myself, what a wonderful thing that you're doing. You're making their lives more meaningful, and look at how they are volunteering to do this.
I can tell you even more, because their life changes. Their life changes. I had women who call me after their husband joined us in the army, and they get a salary from the army for doing this.
Oh, really?
Yes, because they're soldiers. Mm-hmm. So they get a salary, not a lot, but it's more than the kollel.
Right.
And now we also train them to do a job afterwards. So we give them training for different things. We have a foundation that helps us to train them for taking blood, so they can go work for Kupat Cholim and they could take blood. It's a course. It's a few months of a course to learn how to take blood. Mm-hmm. And they learn how to do other jobs that they can do. And then they allowed, after they finish service with us, they could actually allow to go work. 95% of them go find a job afterwards.
Incredible. Incredible. I was also so pleased to see that a woman or a family who Helen and I know so well and we admire, and it just seems like Cherna Moskowitz and her husband are involved in so many great causes, and they, I understand, have contributed quite a bit to this command center.
She's a lovely, Cherna is a lovely person, and the husband, Irving, are amazing people, and they live to do tzedakah.
Yes.
They live, they're not there to make more money for themselves. They don't even spend 1% of what they make for themselves. They spend everything they have to do good for Israel, to do good for the Jewish people. And, you know, I wish more people would learn from them.
Now, some of our listeners who might be motivated, how can they help you?
So we have a lot of ways of contacting us. Our website is israelrescue.org.
Israelrescue.org, okay.
Yes, and the organization's name is United Hatzalah of Israel. So,
how do you spell Hatzalah?
H-A-T-Z-A-L-A-H.
Hatzalah.
Hatzalah, United Hatzalah of Israel.
United Hatzalah of Israel,
which,
okay.
If I'm not mistaken, it's H-A-T-Z-A-L-A-H, which
okay.
A lot of people make a mistake. It's
yes.
Hatzalah, like the...
Hatzalah, okay.
And
it's israelrescue.org, www.israelrescue.org.
.org, yeah.
Now, just as an example, what could someone contribute to help you?
So what we really need is more defibrillators. Defibrillators are, let me just explain the need of defibrillators. You know, once when you had a TV, it was a black and white TV. Remember when it got old, you couldn't see the picture. You go in the back of the TV and give it a zitz, right?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden TV would come back to work.
Right.
The heart works almost the same. So when you have a problem with the electric in the heart and you get a cardiac arrest, you have a 90% chance of saving this person. When people get a cardiac arrest, a heart attack, you could actually save him if you get there within the first 2 minutes with a defibrillator. And we get there really quick with a defibrillator.
Mm-hmm.
We shock the person.
Right.
It restarts. It's like a zets in the back of a TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. You come with a defibrillator, you give him a shock, a 300 joule shock, which is a really powerful shock. It restarts the whole heart, and you could save this person.
Now, how much does a defibrillator cost?
A defibrillator costs $2,500.
Okay.
It's a special defibrillator. It could even shock children. It has a monitor on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it could save, an average, about 10 people a year.
Wow.
And we need to buy another 1,000 defibrillators. We have about 650 now. We want to have almost every volunteer with a defibrillator.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have another thing that we need is AmbuCycles, which we mentioned before. They cost $26,000.
Yes, these are just fascinating to see. I mean, it's like has everything on it. And the
nice part about this, the AmbuCycles, my father passed away 3 years ago. So my family got together and we decided, you know, from, you know, money that we had and different things, to donate it three AmbuCycles.
Wow.
And my father's name in memory of my father is on the AmbuCycles. And I see it many times when I go out to calls. I see the AmbuCycle and I tell my mother, and she has tears in her eyes when she knows that an AmbuCycle with her husband's name, my father's name, saved someone. So it's a tremendous schut of, you know, you save someone's, save a person in memory of someone. So that's one of the best things that we offer our sponsors, our partners, and also I try updating as much as I could our donors. When a defibrillator saves a life, when an AmbuCycle saves a life, it's not easy for me because I have a very small staff.
Sure.
But we try our best to do that.
Well, we've been speaking with Ellie Beer, who heads the Hatzalah for the entire country of Israel. And I am just so overwhelmed and fascinated by what you've done. And what you have proven, by the way, is that one person can make a difference. I've always said this. You never know where one person is going to touch on and who's determined and with determination and with faith can change the world. And I congratulate you on really having changed the world. And I wish you much success. And I hope my listeners, I hope there'll be some response, but they should just know that this is such a wonderful thing that you're doing.
Thank you so much, and it's an honor to be in your program. And I wish I could sing, but if I can't sing, at least I'll say my story. Thank you very much.
Okay, so to my listeners, if you need more information, you know how to reach me, of course, cbjmusic@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send you some material about this wonderful, wonderful organization. Okay, shalom.
Well, as you can tell, that was just a fascinating, fascinating experience. 2,200 volunteers, and they know the location of every single one of them through a GPS. And this command center where you had the Haredim serving their army time, working 8-hour shifts, I think it was 150 or so, it was a wonderful sight to behold. And I congratulate Ellie on the wonderful work that he's doing there. And obviously, if you have any questions, we'd like to contact him. I'm sure you could go to Hatzalah Israel, but I'll be happy to tell you how to reach him. Okay, my friend Alvin Siegel was a great fan of Karl Bach, and particularly he loves Mim Komka. So, Alvin, if you're listening, you will listen, because I'm going to let you know about it. This is Yaakov Motzen with a wonderful, wonderful rendition of Mim Komcha from the Karl Bach composition.
I am me, 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 Shakim Anafinu.
Alvin and Judy, I hope you were listening and enjoyed the interview and the Meme Comcar. This is Charlie Bernhout letting you know that I'm back in the States. I was going to say I'm back home, but I said that to someone and he said, no, Israel is your home. You're just in a temporary place. Anyway, we're back again on the air. You can reach me at cbjmusic@aol.com. cbjmusic@aol.com. Thanks for joining with me. And don't forget to tell your friends about the program. Remember that word of mouth is one of the best forms of advertising. By the way, if you are not already receiving my cantorial calendar, go to the homepage. That's the first page that you see when you go to the website. Obviously, you're on my website. Upper left-hand corner, there's a box. Just put in your email address and find out what's happening with Chazonus around the world. In any event, stay tuned for the second hour of 2 hours of Jewish soul music. Thanks for joining with me. Shalom, everyone.